that Jesus is the bread of heaven, that Jesus is the source of all that we need, of all of our sustenance. And so we read what Jesus says about that in verse 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Bread is sometimes called the staff of life, isn't it? It's the basic food in so many different societies, unless you're on a low-carb diet. And today, bread is in hard times because we're all on low-carb diets. But most of the time in history, until we got into that kind of a fad, bread was pretty good stuff. Verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Sort of reminded me of the woman at the well. You know, Jesus says, I'm going to give you some water that will be springing up inside you like a well of water unto eternal life. And she says, well, keep it coming. You know, I don't want to have to work. I just want to have my thirst constantly satisfied. I don't want to have to work. I just want to have my belly filled. I don't want to have to work. I want to have all my needs provided for. Make it easy. Make life good. Give me the meal and I'll give you tea. Is essentially what the people were saying to Jesus on this occasion. Then they said to him in verse 34, Lord, give us this bread always. And boy, will we be loyal to you. Have you ever made a deal with God? A lot of people try to make deals with God, whether they're in foxholes or whether they're in other circumstances of life in which they say, Lord, you do this for me, and I'll do this for you. Give me a raise. Give me a partner. Give me some sort of prosperity in my life, and I'll give you my service. I'll give you back myself. And of course, the scripture always says, that's no bargain. God, first of all, God doesn't make deals. Secondly, God's gifts are not reciprocal. They're one way. They're always of grace. It's always unconditional. It's always his choice to meet our needs apart from anything that we deserve. And quite frankly, we don't deserve it at all. None of us deserves God's provision. Grace is his unmerited kindness in giving us what we need but do not deserve. Verse 35, one of the most important passages, I think, in all of the New Testament is this next verse. It's worthy of memorization. John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, I want you to know something. For those of you who may have a Roman Catholic background and know something of the teaching of the Mass and something of the teaching of the so-called transubstantiation of the host of the bread that is used in the celebration of the Mass. You know that the Catholic teaching is that somehow the bread, which represents, of course, the bread of the Last Supper, but in this particular case, according to that Roman Catholic teaching, that bread is actually transformed into the body of Christ on that teaching. That the wine, which is used in celebration of the Mass, is supposedly transformed, transubstantiated into the actual blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the way the teaching goes is, it still tastes like bread, it still tastes like wine, but actually the substance inside has been changed into the body and blood of Christ. Why? Because of the passage like this, which says that Jesus is the bread of heaven. And they actually use this passage in teaching that particular doctrine. And it is a total misconstrual of what the scriptures are teaching with regard to Jesus being the bread of life. That is a metaphor that he clearly is using in this particular occasion. This is my body, this is my blood. I remember saying to a young lady back when I was a teenager and in Boston, where I grew up, Boston is a very Catholic city. And most of my friends around me were Catholic in background. And so there was one young lady I was witnessing to, trying to share the gospel with her. And she was talking to me about the Mass and about the fact that Jesus said, this is my body. And I gave her this illustration. I said, now, when Jesus was saying that, he was with the disciples during the Last Supper, right? He was lying there on his couch next to theirs. And he said, as he picked up the Passover matzah, he says, this is my body. I said, did Jesus disappear? Or was he still there when he said, this is my body? She said, I had never thought about it that way before. He didn't disappear. He was still there. Well, then clearly, he was not saying that the matzah, that the bread had become him, because he was still there. He was clearly saying that it was a metaphorical use of a term to describe God's provision for our lives, for our eternal life in this particular instance. And so the idea that somehow the bread, the substance of the bread, and the substance of the wine get changed into the body and blood of Christ, and to use a text like this as a justification for that, is to misunderstand what God is saying to us when he talks about the fact that Jesus is the bread of heaven. though he does claim to be that. He says, I am the bread of life. Now, here's the interpretation. Here's how you properly interpret it. It's found here in verse 35. In fact, verses 35 and verse 63 are the answer to the Roman Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation. So I want you to, if you ever have asked this question, please write down verses 35 and verse 63, and here's how it goes. Here's how Jesus interprets, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, he who comes to me shall never hunger. Notice, the first thing to satisfy hunger is that you come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You come to Jesus how? By faith. By trusting him. By receiving him as Savior and Lord. You come to Jesus. And in fact, he says that in the next half. And he who believes in me, who exercises faith in me, shall never thirst. So how do you satisfy your hunger? By coming to Jesus. How do you satisfy your thirst? By believing in Jesus. And so when he says, I am the bread of heaven, I am the source of the sustenance, whether he says it to this crowd after the feeding of the 5,000, or whether he said it to the woman at the well after talking about the water that he was going to, of life that he was going to give her, that these metaphors of bread and water are intended because they're such basic sources of our sustenance to be metaphors that tell us that God is the provider of every need that we have. You know, some of us are blessed by God with good jobs. Some of us are blessed by God with good incomes. Some of us are blessed by God with resources with which we can meet our regular and our long-term needs. And the danger of having the provision of that sort in our own lives is that we come to rely upon our own efforts as if we are providing it instead of it being a gift of God. That every provision, every resource that we have in our lives is from him. That there are no guarantees in this life. That the things that we think we have are going to stay. That they might not evaporate tomorrow, whether it's through the stock market or through other means. So how do you get provided for? You don't get provided for because you yourself are so clever, because you yourself are such a good investor. That's not the basis of your confidence. But rather, your basis of confidence is Jesus. You want to be sure you're never going to be hungry, and at least in that ultimate sense, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You want to be sure that your needs are going to really be satisfied and you'll never thirst in that spiritual sense? Believe in Jesus. Now go to verse 63. Remember that passage that I said was the other verse here that I said helps you interpret that doctrine, that false doctrine that we talked about a moment ago? Verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Where does life come from? Not from literal bread, not from literal wine, not from literal water. Life comes from the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And I'm well beyond time, I just realized. Jesus refers to himself as the bread from heaven after the feeding of the 5,000. If we trust him, he gives us eternal life. If we come to him, he gives us eternal life. Next time we'll talk about the white stone, a new stone, which no one knows about except the one who receives it. And then we'll move on to the church of Thyatira. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you today.